Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello everybody, welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello Scott.
Josh, my friend, water is wet, air is breathable, and Google Stadia is dying. Did it ever live in the first place? The jury is forever out. Last night, big old statement. Kotaku sort of reported on it as well, but Google Stadia shutting all of their internal studios, removing the idea of exclusives going forward. To me, though, the whole idea of Google Stadia was always kind of doomed from the start. And even when we watched the reveal of Google getting into games, I didn't see a single report saying, like, well, this will be good. We really want this. So there is some things to clarify. All of their internal studios have closed, and that's 150 people affected, apparently, which sucks. Hopefully, obviously, within certain circles, they'll be able to get other development work. They have been offered jobs by Google, or they will be offered jobs by Google, but it's like, what, are they going to go from gaming to Gmail or like resurrecting Google Hangouts? And that stuff sucks. Google Stadia will continue as a service. Phil Harrison, who's the sort of like head, I forget what his specific title is, but he's the dude who came across from Sony and Xbox to sort of help run it. He's still staying, and apparently his job now is to approach different third-party publishers and try and get their games on the service, because they're not going to be doing exclusives anymore. Jade Raymond, another sort of head figure of Stadia, is just leaving. She's done, having done Assassin's Creed in the past and then coming across. So it leaves it in a state that we pretty much expected back in the day. It existed for 14 months.
I mean, I know it's not very long at all, is it, Scott Tilford? No. And even though I feel like everyone kind of knew the writing was on the wall in terms of, you know, Stadia's decline or whatever, in terms of them giving up on this kind of like first party development structure, it still sucks because it's like everyone else saw this coming, and now we've got like 150 people who are just not on this team anymore, who are, you know, reapplying for other roles, interviewing for other roles, looking for other work. And it's like, how short-sighted was this? You know what I mean? Like, this was supposed to be this big long-term thing. You know, Google's getting into games. We're making these high-quality games. And then here you've got a statement where they're like, actually making high-quality games is really hard and costs a lot of money. And it's like, how did you not know this before getting into it? Who made these decisions, you know? It's just, I feel like I want to know exactly what's happened behind the scenes. Like you say, so many people leaving, like Jade Redmond, just off now, you know? Like, what happened there? What's fundamentally gone wrong? Was it doomed from the start? Or was there a promising service and a promising idea that just got lost along the way? I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's like, is the idea of game streaming fundamentally something we need in the medium? Like, I like the idea of it, but the thing is, like, PlayStation Now, when Sony tried it, it was, for me, it was way too laggy, and I just went, I hate this. Even a frame off, even if I push a button and it's just, there's even a millisecond of lag and it doesn't feel right, it's dead. And I feel like xCloud gets around that, or whatever the hell, I think it's called xCloud now. They changed their name quite a lot, but the whole Xbox streaming thing that you can do right now, the one that's included with Game Pass Ultimate, that plays really, really well. And you can just grab your phone, play a couple of games of Halo on your phone while you're in bed or whatever. The harsh reality of that is, I don't want to. Like, why would I want to play full console games on my phone? Like, that for me is the fundamental problem. It was just a solution to a problem that didn't exist. And it's not that, obviously, some games work portably, and it's more like it sounds cool until you start doing it, and then it's just like, oh, this is just a bit weird. Like, I'm clearly sacrificing a lot of, you know, big screen bluster, a lot of the overall production, the production value that's in this game, this sort of work of art, by playing it on a stupid little phone. Like, it just doesn't work. So, like, I mean, obviously you can stream with tablets and stuff like that, but what's your general thoughts on streaming in gaming at all?
Well, I think it's funny, like everything else that you mentioned there that wasn't the Google Stadia, it's only part of a wider business model. You know what I mean? Mm. Like PlayStation Now certainly is it's a service that people use and Sony is pushing it, but it's not the sole thing they're relying on to bring in, you know, customers and money. It's something that's going to grow and probably become better as it goes on, but it's not something that Sony is, you know, betting the house on. And neither is Microsoft with xCloud. Again, that's a great bit of tech, but they've got their fingers in so many different pies, from like Game Pass to the new consoles to, you know, everything else. Microsoft as a company, you know, does away from gaming. That is just one section of it. Whereas when it came to Google Stadia, I always felt like they had a hard sell for people who have, you know, been with consoles for decades and decades now, grew up with consoles, know consoles inside and out. Mm-hmm. And the alternative they were providing just never really seemed to give me any reason to believe that it was a proper alternative or that it did have all of these benefits that I wasn't getting with my regular console. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was always my sticking point. I didn't really know who the Stadia was for. I didn't really know what its strengths even were. And even when it came out, I remember when they had, was it like the Founders Edition or something back in 2019 when that came out, even like the release and the staggered release of it and the tiers that you could opt into, all of that was just initially as a customer, just so off-putting for tech that I felt was unproven even back then.
Well, it's an interesting, the whole ownership side of it as well, like that whole thing that Xbox sort of flirted with, that idea, like you're, and it's obviously the case that you are only ever buying a license to play a game. Like you can't resell it, you know, you can't, like you can trade it back in again, but like, you know, you can't, like, you're only ever buying an access point to a game. And with Google Stadia, it was like, well, you know, you're going to buy this sort of like monthly service thing that gives you access to a library and you're still paying full price rather than a monthly subscription model. And if that service goes down, if it's offline or if they discontinue it, then all those purchases are gone. You don't actually own anything in terms of like a tangible thing you can put into a system or anything like that. There's no way to carry those purchases forward or honor them going forward. And I kind of wonder what they're going to do about that in the, you know, in the long term, because like, I mean, it's not like games were cheap on Stadia, they were full price from the beginning. And obviously that goes alongside the exclusive side of it, where Stadia launched, like you said, they had the Founders Edition that was £120, which was crazy. They didn't bring a free tier in until April 2020, which is way too late at that point. But like, it's like that whole idea of exclusives, like this is kind of like a ringing endorsement of, if you have a platform, you need exclusives. And I think the Xbox Game Pass is so strong and the technology on the Series side, especially the Series X, is so phenomenal that they've managed to wedge their way in. But it's that whole thing where if you're launching a new platform in amongst this other stuff, you know, Xbox have the sort of wider third-party market cornered, PS5, PlayStation have the exclusive side cornered, and Google just didn't have anything. They sort of just went, well, mainstream people, like mainstream audience, casual audience, will buy the controller and stream stuff to the TV, we guess, but there's no thing to get them in. I guess it was always that they just didn't have any particular hook, and now they never will.
Yeah, I mean, even though obviously a lot of people who had worked in games before were working on the Stadia, it very much felt like a company that didn't know too much about how to grow that market, like coming in and being like, well, this is just how you make games. And I think it's a testament to just how well Sony and even Microsoft have, you know, done with cultivating an exclusive library, or at least, you know, a lot of brands and franchises associated with their IP that people will just go to bat for. Like, people will go to bat for Nintendo, often too much, you know, for Mario, Zelda, whatever. They go to Sony for God of War, Horizon, Spider-Man, whatever. Microsoft's got Halo, Gears, etc., etc. And all of those form the bedrock of, in my opinion, the appeal of those consoles in general. Yeah, third-party games are still a huge part of the market, if not the biggest part of the market, but I don't think a console can live off that alone. And Google Stadia canning their, you know, main exclusive development team is like, it's, I just don't know how that exists now, because the thing that set Stadia apart, or could have set Stadia apart, would have been these original experiences from interesting creators, from interesting developers with interesting voices, and again, I'm going to say it again, interesting, unique ideas at the heart of them, you know what I mean? But without that, it's just, you can play Arkham Asylum on streaming if you want, and it's like, that didn't work for the Wii U when that brought over, you know what I mean? Like, these third-party games, people already have consoles where they can buy them, and it's that those exclusives at the heart of these platforms that I just think ultimately endear players to them and keep them coming back for more, and keep them wanting to be invested in this world. Otherwise, it's just kind of this nebulous thing and a platform for nebulous content, you know?
That's an incredibly interesting thing, though, because for me, like, that idea of, like, how to market stuff, and, you know, like, they missed such an opportunity with Cyberpunk 2077, because by far, well, not necessarily by far, because you had the PC version and whatever, but all the conversations around Cyberpunk's launch, the different states of the game on different hardware, there was a little tiny voice in the corner of the room saying, it actually plays really well on Stadia, because Stadia's server farm, the, you know, the general processing power that goes into the version of the game that you're accessing, the hardware that you're accessing, is top tier stuff. And so it's not, they didn't capitalize on that at all. I mean, it's kind of like Microsoft or Xbox have kind of got that whole plays best on Xbox, like, you know, slogan. But Stadia should have been the ones out there in amongst all the Cyberpunk stuff, just saying, like, well, we have the best version and you can play it right now for £10 a month or whatever. And they could have done that. They could do that with every major third-party game, say it runs best on Stadia, and go from there. But they didn't do any of that stuff, and obviously it completely imploded.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder whether that was just because Cyberpunk was in such a controversial state that they might not have wanted their name attached to it, even if it did play the best, you know what I mean? Maybe they were just kind of like, right, it does play the best, but also, do we want to be using that as our unique selling point at this point? But, like, you are right, like, I never thought, as someone outside of, you know, potentially even their core market, like, I never had those marketing reasons to want to pick it up. There was no kind of, like, killer ad that got me thinking about even contemplating whether I should get, like, Cyberpunk or the newest third-party game on Stadia. You know what I mean? It just wasn't on my radar at all. And I do this for a living. You know what I mean? We do this. We cover the industry for a living.
I buy everything to see what it's like. I need to know. It's always like, I need to know. And I couldn't do it with Stadia. I almost did. Just for the sheer curiosity of it. But even me, the man who buys everything, a Vita, a Ring Fit, give me whatever. And I just, even that, I was just like, nah, this is not worth the money. This is not worth the time. And I didn't bother. And I guess, like, that's clearly en masse what's happened, because it's just, they're not able to support their internal studio. So yeah, Google Stadia will continue as a service for third parties. And I guess that means that the revenue-wise, it makes more money for them because they don't have to pay the devs to create the exclusives. But whether gaming streaming is even a thing going forward, because it's not like xCloud has really taken off either, even though it is the best version of this. Whether that actually, you know, continues is a thing that's kind of up in the air. So let us know what you think down in the comments below of Google Stadia, the life and times of Google Stadia across the all 14 months. And for now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.